for this part of the show, let's start talking a little bit about indoor planting of seeds. Some of us are already near enough spring that it's time, matter of fact, most of us, to at least put some of our stuff in pre-planting pots. And I'll kind of go through the best methods I know. Kind of the tricks to a successful seed starting. The first one that is kind of hard to get people used to, they do it. The most surefire method I've found is by using a heat pad under the seed starting tray. It's worked almost 100% of the time as far as germination. It really increases germination. Now, get the heat pads made for these plants. They actually just usually bring the ambient temperature up around 20 degrees above the surrounding air temperature. If you're really ambitious, you can actually make pots yourself using toilet, you know, the inside of the toilet paper rolls, or even the if you happen to also be a paper towel user, save those and you can cut into several, make several little pots out of them, and then just line them with newspaper. And when you're through, you push them through. It's the simplest thing in the world. They're just cores of either, you know, paper towels or toilet paper, or just small paper cups. The little drink cups are fine. The real secret is here, though, you need to use a sterile, and I mean sterile, either organic seed starting mix, or some, they do offer sterile peat moss cups. I don't like it because peat moss is not, believe it or not, at one point we'll run out if we keep using it. But coconut core works also. And if you'd like to make your own seed starting mix with, I recommend coconut core, compost. But either one of them, if you've got it, by all means, add some worm castings. Here's the trick to make it so you don't have to worry about the damping off and everything. Be sure to take the whole, whatever you're going to use, get it in a container and bring it up to at least 150 degrees. Use your oven, use your barbecue pit. I don't care what you use. And that will kill any pathogens so that it will not affect your plants, but it's not so hot that it kills the life in the soil or in the medium you're using. Next, I recommend that you place the seeds in pre-moistened starter cups and pots and allow to wet thoroughly. If you can, folks, from the bottom. Watering from the top a lot of times dislodges the seeds. Just take time. They'll soak it up and make it fully saturated the first time. And once they are saturated, they're ready to be put in a catch pan. Ensure any catch pan you use has been thoroughly washed again, so all pathogens are gone. Mine has a little water reservoir at the bottom that I used to use, and it wicks the moisture up from under the seedlings. Works pretty nice, and you can make that easily. I put my seed starts in as sunny a window as I can and on a heat mat, usually in my plastic tray, my catch tray. And the first, at least till they come, till they sprout, if you've got it, put a clear plastic lid on. And I've had the same one for years. I haven't been doing it lately. I'm actually have a friend that's actually doing most of this. But you can buy these little kits, very inexpensive, at any Dollar General or any box store. Keep it damp, but not wet, and with the clear cover on until the seedling actually emerges. Once the seedling emerges, though, remove that clear lid pretty quickly or you're going to get some damping off. And here's a fault I'm guilty of. Make sure you label your seedlings as soon as you plant them. I mean, I always thought I'd remember them, but I can't remember 2 months from now what was there, why, or why not. Now is also a great time to start keeping a journal. Believe me, you'll learn from your own mistakes. The best way to do that is write it down. Start tracking what you planted and when you planted it. So review. Then you can start reviewing it next year and what worked well. Of course, you can repeat it. What didn't work, you've learned for your area and the way you grow things, what works best for you. And in almost all plants, your first seedlings, when they first get their leaves, they're really not true leaves. It's kind of like thinking of like having baby teeth. The second set of leaves are true leaves. They are already to be hardened off when they have their first set of true leaves, not the cotyledons, not that first set. Seedlings must be hardened and not just thrown outside. they just won't take it if you don't give them a hardening off period. Take them out a little bit at a time, gradually increasing their exposure to the sun and cold, only during the daytime. I try to plant when a warm spell is forecasted, just to minimize the shock to the little guys. And I do admit things have changed over the many years when I was especially really active in this. There's some great selections of herbs and veggies at nurseries and even at the big box stores nowadays. So you have a great option just waiting until spring is officially here and picking up what looks good at your nearby store. You got a couple of months to figure it out. This is also a great backup I didn't used to have. If I blew it, it was gone for the season. If your first seed startings, you know, wasn't exactly up to snuff, you've got time to do it again in many cases. At least in my area right now, the big box stores are already getting in their seeds. And do realize the beautiful setup, the amazing places you can go online and get things you never could have found 20 years ago or so when I was really gardening. Seed packets will tell you how far in advance of your last frost date, remember that, to start your seeds indoors, depending on what zone you live in, and surely do make yourself aware of what zone you're in. As a matter of fact, a few years back, they actually changed the zone levels because of the climate changes. So recheck that. Make sure you're in the zone you think you're in. Before I end this, I should also mention this. You can also start a number of different perennial flowers indoors. For any plant, though, look at the seed packet for when to plant according to your frost date, your last average frost date. Then back up the time from then to when to start it indoors. It says it's 8 weeks or it's 6 weeks. Typically, as a matter of fact, most seeds are started about 6 to 8 weeks prior to the average plant date. I hope that gives you a good little head start. Actually, some of you are already probably doing this. But if you haven't grown your own seeds, it's very satisfying. It's much less expensive. And in many cases, you can get varietals you just can't get that have already been started. So it makes for an interesting gardening season. For the last few minutes of this portion of the show, let's talk a little bit about the word herbicides. First of all, herbicides, for the most part, if you buy them commercially, are poison. They're not environmentally friendly. They're not good for your soil. They're not good for your animals. It's a substance that is toxic to plants. Most of the time, you don't want to put it in your garden. But let's talk about ways that you can eliminate most any weed, if that's the word you want. Incidentally, don't forget, a number of weeds are both medicinal and useful. There are some weeds that we can't eat or we can't use, but for the most part, they're not all as bad as we think. In the old days, the first thing I remember my mom and dad doing, believe it or not, was drenching the area where they had weeds of any kind with boiling water. As simple as boiling water did it. Okay, simply bring a big pot of water to a boil, pour it over the leaves and stems, and most of the time it'll work. The first time it'll certainly work if you do it a couple times. Using boil water is an effective method of killing weeds in places like your sidewalks, your driveways, or in a larger area if you'd like to replant after the weeds are gone. So it doesn't leave any residue or have any long-term harmful effects even on the bacteria. You'd think it would, but it just doesn't go that deep. Even after saying that, though, remember, all of these homemade herbicides I'm going to mention, it is really still important to only apply to the plants you wish to get rid of, as it can easily also kill your flowers or vegetable plants. So you have to be particular. And in most cases, it's not good for other beneficial creatures, and we don't want to wipe them out if we can keep them either. And if you actually have a controlled area, folks, and this sounds rather primitive, but they now make flame weeder tools available to the public. They run on propane or butane, usually on propane. And if used properly, they're super safe. I've used them tons of times, and they directly heat only the weeds you're pointing at without catching the neighborhood on fire and certainly without hurting your ornamentals, provided the fact you're very careful yourself. And the next one I recommend if you're a careful kind of person, and that's salt, believe it or not. You can make a 1-to-3 ratio of thick salt water, put it in a sprayer. Now, you only want to spray the leaves and even the stalks, maybe, of the weed you want to get rid of. You don't want salt in your ground. But this small amount, if you only soak the plant, is probably will not cause any trouble. Just be careful using it. Unfortunately, when you're only spraying the leaves, you may have to do it several times. And most concrete's pretty much safe if you wanted to kill weeds between the rocks or the concrete with salt. But some of it may get discolored. So test that first and be sure. I forgot to mention, it doesn't even hurt to add a little detergent with that salt spray, as you would with my next solution, and that's white vinegar. Most white vinegar in the grocery store is only 5%, but even that'll kill a lot of weeds. You can buy up to 20% acetic acid, though, if you want to go looking for it at any decent nursery, and it'll get most anything you hit it with. Now, same again, be careful of overspray on garden plants. You want to spray the plant, not the soil. But used properly, and I've done it a lot, it can be very, very effective. Though I hesitate to talk about this, I'm going to do it anyway. First of all, in plants, in places where there's no plants, and you just want an effective, actual, almost an insecticide, borax works, folks. Borax is what's in roach-proof. And a lot of, so in dry areas between walls and areas where pets or children can't get to, it's very effective. It can be made into a liquid, though, or added to a liquid, about 10 ounces to a couple of gallons of water, 2.5 gallons. Mix it thoroughly. Again, use it as a spray only on the leaves of the unwanted weeds in your yard. You don't want borax in your soil. There actually is a, plants actually need a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, but nothing like you would be spraying. So be very careful. I don't hesitate to do this, but I know people that have been, it's very effective, and they didn't seem to bother their soil around them, and plants they were having a really rough time getting rid of. Some of the thistles and things, it worked very effectively, but be careful. So that's sort of a rundown of herbicides. Of course, one of the best herbicides, weed control, let's call it weed controllers, not call it an herbicide, is called a garden hoe. We don't seem to want to use our hoes anymore. When I was a young boy, everything we did to weed in our garden was done with either hoes or trowels. I don't remember ever using poison in my garden to kill weeds. Think about that. Good for you, good for the environment, healthy for you, gives you some exercise, and solves the problem. So I can't say I'm even as good at it as I was 50 years ago, but the hoe is your best friend if you want to really, really have a good weed-free garden. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters. For most of you, see you next week.